This is the SMB Community Podcast, the longest-running MSP-focused podcast in the industry.
I'm James Kernan. My background's IT sales, marketing, and leadership, and most recently, M&A advisory services.
And I'm Amy Babinchak. I help MSPs run stronger, more profitable firms from a tech-first perspective.
Here, you'll find practical insights for MSPs and IT service providers. Powered by Small Biz Thoughts.
Well, hey, we've got a full agenda and some exciting things to talk about. So let's kind of dive right in. The question of the week, the one we're going to talk about today is how do I get my clients to take data privacy seriously? So what are your thoughts? What comes to mind when you hear a question like that?
Well, for me, I think this is all about AI, right? We've got these new AIs coming in. There's AI applications, there's the AI chatbots, there's the bots people are writing and just, you know, installing them. And they get access to your data. And then the bad part is that they then potentially, and most of them do, feed it back up into their training model.
Yep.
And you lose it at that point. You know, then it belongs to whoever owns the AI. It no longer belongs to you. So this is a new issue that all businesses need to be concerned about, and telling your clients about how AIs actually work is the thing that's going to convince them to do it.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want your information coming up in the next chat session for somebody else in another place in the world or down the street.
Yeah, it's couldn't agree with you more, but it's hard to educate those prospects or those clients to really understand, you know, what's going on. And I love, I was always a business to business type of person. I wouldn't talk speeds and feeds and wouldn't try to get technical with the business owners, because normally they would phase out, especially with a topic like this. There's so much fear mongering out there. My firm did this, and then I recommend to clients that I work with, take kind of the assessment approach. You know, we need to educate clients of why they need to take it seriously, but then offer some type of assessment. There's a really good browser-based security tool called Atacama. That is a tool with multiple purposes, but you could do a browser-based security assessment and track all the sites people are going to. You could see, you know, data going out, data coming in, and you could do keyword searches and so forth. But you could pull some reporting just from normal users and see, you know, how much of your sensitive data is going out. I think that's one great way. There's also some good assessment tools, you know, at the firewall that you could gather that data and then educate those business owners of what's really happening on their own network. And when they see their data being exposed, I think that's then you're in the driver's seat. So I think those are some other ways that you could get them to take it seriously. So great, great question.
Well, inside of 365 too, you have Defender and you have Cloud App Security. Now, Cloud App Security is going to give you a huge amount of information. You can also set alerts on it and restrictions as to what AIs are approved, which ones are not approved. It'll track who's using them. It'll throw alerts on it. This is not out of the wheelhouse of MSPs. It's just a new procedure that they need to take care of. You know, you've promised to take care of their network. And I find that the shadow AI is where the problem is for data privacy. And so if you haven't developed a method for tracking that and monitoring it and securing that, you need to start doing that right now.
Yeah. So with the evolution of AI, it's, you know, even more and more, you know, it's going to keep happening. So it's, I think it's important that we pay close attention to that and educate, you know, these business owners of what's going on their network. So anyway, great, great ideas, Amy. Thanks for sharing that. So there's some other articles that we found that we wanted to discuss. There was one, I feel like Amy and I talk about this for the last 2 years, almost on every podcast, but we talk about opportunities in the channel. Obviously, you're probably AI'd to death. There's a lot of information about AI out there and how quickly that's growing. and the skills gap. There's a big gap out there, but there's an article, it was called Evolve or Exit, and it really caught my eye. I reshared that and put some thoughts out on LinkedIn. And the more I think about this, I just wanted to talk about that a little bit. We've also talked about compliance and how there's more and more compliance requirements on the MSPs. There's more risk, cybersecurity risk specifically. And, you know, you need to form the right partnerships, use the right tools, train the right staff, follow these processes to a T. So the requirements are tightening up, and some people are evolving and some people aren't. And, you know, if you're not, you know, more and more people are exiting. The other thing I thought was super interesting, Amy, in that article, was the age. It's kind of like our industry's aging out, right? You know, there's a lot of, the majority of the business owners that are MSP business owners are, over 55, and a good portion of those are over 65. So it's time for them to exit. You know, have you run into any MSPs in your circles that you've heard conversations like that?
James says, if your hair is graying, head for the door. That's what I heard. I hear you say that. I think I heard you say that.
You did hear me say that, but if you're not evolving, because I'm hearing that from people I'm talking
to. Yeah, well, this is the same problem that we had with cloud, right? And a lot of people did exit then. They were like, I'm absolutely not learning this cloud thing. I'm out of here, right? I'm a server person, and I just want to support servers, and I'm closing up shop. It's time for me to retire. But this has snuck up on people, and it should not have, because security and compliance have been about less about tech and more about consulting. And as hard as the industry has pushed, and as much as you and I have talked about it, the MSPs, most of them are not evolving. They are stuck on this manage, monitor, secure, where they're just doing automation, right? Press the button, automate the endpoint. Press the button, automate the security. Press the button, automate the backup. Have something generate a report, show it to the client, right? Look, we did our job, answer the help desk. That's not the future. The future is in doing one-on-one consulting with your clients and working with them to reach their goals. And those goals have to deal with compliance, right? So they have needs to stay within compliance in order to be able to run their business efficiently. Yep. And then they need to run securely. And then with AI, they need to run very productively. AI is changing the world of productivity, and the business owners expect you to know that because they don't know it.
Right.
Right. You're supposed to be the one that's up on that. So the future MSP is going to be focused on those three things. It's going to be focused on data privacy and productivity using AI. It's going to be focused on compliance, and it'll still be focused on security. But the managing of the endpoint, the backing up of data, the, you know, just waiting for alerts to happen, answering the help desk will always be a thing. And I think you've got a real opportunity there to remain personable rather than automated, because I think that could be a nice differentiator, because like you and I always say, people do business with people.
Yep.
And, you know, I would think of the help desk as your front door, right? That's your everyday person in the office is going to call. And then you've got your sort of one-on-one consulting business with the leadership team and with your clients.
Right.
To me, that's what the future MSP looks like. And I see a lot of people fighting it. They're just digging in on, nope, I maintain the endpoints. That's what I do.
There's a huge opportunity on that consulting side. And, you know, in my organization, I remember vividly because it was natural. I was never a techie. I really leaned into that business owner conversation with the other business owner. I would look at, you know, total cost of ownership or return on investment. But I liked having that business conversation. And naturally, it led into, there was a great question somebody asked me a long, long time ago, and it stuck with me. Remember them, it was a prospect, right? And so I'm sitting there getting ready to pitch what we can do. And he asked me, he said, how do you make money? in your company. I was like, oh. And I think I've talked for 10 straight minutes about what we do and how we do it. And I'm like, oh my gosh, that was way too much info for me giving this prospect. And fortunately for me, we developed a really good friendship and he became a great client. But when you start talking about how do you make money, walk me through the processes, and that's a consulting type of question. And then you identify all sorts of opportunities right there. And now with the advancement of AI and all the security requirements, you know, those are great questions to ask and then, you know, identify a consulting opportunity and then sell it as a project and integrate that with your recurring services too. But, you know, I think there's a huge opportunity there. So I loved that article. You guys should check it out on LinkedIn. But Amy, any further thoughts on things that our listeners should be doing?
I was looking at the plaque of when I was on the cover of Channel Pro, and it has the little blurb of what your feature is about. And mm-hmm. It says, how to be highly technical and high touch at the same time. And I was like, wow, that was like so on point for me, because I am highly technical, but I've always had this phrase that I use to sort of guide me. And that was, IT has no purpose other than to make business great, right? So my purpose was not to be so worried about the technical stuff. I could always do the technical stuff. It was to be worried about how can we make their business great, mm-hmm. right? I can apply my technical knowledge to helping them reach their goals. And right. I think that's how MSPs need to restructure their thought process away from the tech and toward the business side of things. And if you don't do that, I think you're right. You either better plan to get out or remold your MSP. Right now, those are the two choices ahead.
This episode is supported by IT Service Provider University. ITSPU is built for IT service professionals who already know the technical side and want to get better at running the business of managed services. The courses focus on the operational fundamentals that actually shape outcomes: service models, agreements, pricing, customer service systems, and the front office workflows that keep things consistent as you scale. The training is structured and practical, with both live and on-demand courses designed to help you build repeatable processes and standard operating procedures, not just collect ideas. For MSPs who want clearer models and more intentional operations, IT Service Provider University provides continuing education and certification paths grounded in real-world practice. You can explore the catalog and see how it fits at itspu.com.
Yeah. And one other choice, I mean, you could think of, I'll just throw this in before we move on, is you can merge with someone else. There's a lot of merger conversations going on as well. You know, join forces maybe with a bigger entity or with someone that has that skill set already. There's all sorts of these big roll-ups going on all around the country with venture capitalist firms. So, you know, there's opportunities all around. You just need to reach out.
If you do roll up, you got to be prepared to change those still, right? So if you're not the one who's bringing the new skills, you got to realize that you're the legacy tech coming in.
Yep.
And then that still means you're going to have to change. So yep. Change is in the air.
Yep. It absolutely. Absolutely. All right. And then there was an interesting article as well. We talk a lot about the power grid and what's happening with all these AI data centers going on. But there was an interesting article out there about states moving to require AI to pay for its own electricity use.
Yeah, why not? I mean, yeah. We don't want a higher electrical bill because they're putting more demand on the grid. I think there's now a really well-organized anti-data center movement out there. It's pretty strong here in Michigan. We've had a lot of data centers sniffing around. And communities immediately worry about it. But if you look at some of the other communities that already have them, some of them have set up rules for these data centers, right? They don't just use water continuously. They need a recycling system, right? So they recirculate their water through, right, and cool it themselves. They're not constantly drawing water off the system, generating their own electricity, right? Or or putting up the cost to increase the capacity of the grid so that the cost for, you know, per kilowatt for everybody doesn't go up, that we're increasing the availability of the electricity so we're not putting excess demands on it. There's all kinds of things that communities can still do and approve the data center, but the companies coming in have to be ready for that too. Interesting thing in that article is that it says Microsoft has committed to zero carbon and zero impact. So anytime Microsoft data centers are coming in, they are providing all of that recycling and energy generation themselves. All they need is the land space, which is still a big deal because they tend to stick these on farmland.
Interesting. And as you know, I've lived in the Midwest now for almost 10 years. And over that time frame, I've seen data center after data center after data center pop up, and it all seems to go right down I-80, you know, right off the internet backbone. And I think why we're seeing that, at least here in Nebraska, is it's kind of the hub. You know, we're directly in the center of the United States. So anyway, I remember my fond days being in Southern California in my office or in my home. You know, brownouts and blackouts were very, very common. And you just had to have all sorts of backup equipment, you know, to protect, you know, your network. And here it's starting to happen. You know, it's happening more and more. So, you know, I see that as an ongoing challenge for folks. So there's another interesting article. You'll like this one. The Air Force bans metaglasses while the Army adopts them. So that's kind of funny.
Well, it's an interesting juxtaposition of two services coming to opposite conclusions, right? And for different reasons. The Air Force says, well, we don't want those glasses around here because they're recording and they might pick up something that we don't want to be recorded. Mm-hmm. So they're worried about the security side of it. The Army says, we want our people wearing these glasses because when they're out doing repair work, they can have the manuals at hand, they can have the videos at hand, they can have all the paperwork at hand so that they can be looking at that as they're doing their repair and do a better job. So they see it as a job enhancement tool. The Air Force sees it as a security issue. Reality is it's probably both, mm-hmm. but I think these glasses are going to take off at some point. I don't know. They don't look as weird as they used to. So that helps a little.
Yeah, that helps a lot.
Yeah, you know, you don't look quite as geeky, you know, they're by Oakley now and they kind of look like ski glasses almost. But so thinking about as an MSP, what are you going to do with this information? Like, oh, that was an interesting article about the Air Force and, you know, what does that have to do with me? Well, this is how your clients are going to perceive these new technology, right? This is a new technology coming in. Your client's either going to look at it and say, I don't want that around here. Or another client's going to look at that and say, oh my God, this is exactly what we need. So I used to have a client that was a heating and cooling firm. But what they did is they did licensing and maintenance of, like if you had a heating and cooling system installed in a big high rise, right? The whole high rise has to have a certain airflow and all of this. And there might be multiple different systems in there, and they didn't install all those systems, but the whole thing has to work together in some way to provide the right airflow. They would come in and do all that certification, and they'd go in with these huge books of PDF printouts of all the manuals that they thought they were going to need and all the instructions for this and that. With the glasses, they wouldn't need it anymore. They put on their glasses, every piece of documentation that the company owns would be available to them.
Yeah. You know what comes to me that we haven't talked about? And it, I see this all the time, but don't you get a tiny bit nervous about someone writing an article about the vulnerabilities in our military and what makes us weak and what other people could attack? I see that all the time. In the back of my mind, I'm always like, I don't really like articles like that.
Years ago, when portable little video cameras first became available, like small, like GoPro size type things,
yep.
There was this guy with like one strapped to his chest. And his goal was to record his entire life. So now I'm like, are people going to be like wearing these glasses and recording their whole life? Like everywhere they go, they're going to have these on and just recording the world. And somebody's probably already doing that.
Oh, yeah.
I just think of like how much boring video there is in the world today.
Yeah. Like,
every time I'm like doing the tourist thing, you know, going along and somebody's got their GoPro and they're filming themselves walking down the sidewalk or whatever, I'm like, oh my God. That's why we need more data centers, is so that we can house all this really boring video.
Yeah. And most of it is boring. Yeah, absolutely. I sure wish that technology was around when I was playing football.
So I'm a sailor, as you know, and I'm on a Women Who Sail Facebook group. And somebody posted in there, like, I still have a job. I live on my sailboat now. We moved aboard the sailboat. I still have my job. I need to be able to have multiple monitors, but I don't want to take up all that space in the cabin of my boat with the multiple monitors. And somebody came back and said, get the Meta glasses, because you can have 7 remote monitors is what you're going to see in front of you, is up to 7 remote monitors. So you don't have to carry a second monitor. You will just see the second monitor and interact with it as if it were really there, but it's entirely virtual. I read that and I was like, wow, somebody's more techie than I am. I might have to get a pair of those glasses just to try that out. That would be pretty cool. I can take it on my boat.
Yeah, that'd be very cool. Very cool. All right. Well, that's it. So, hey, what's up? What's coming up for you the rest of this quarter?
In March, I'm going out to Grand Rapids to speak to a business group out there. Of course, it's about AI.
Yep.
I'm specifically going to be talking about Copilot and the extent of all the stuff that you get when you actually buy a license. So that's my piece of that. What's going on for you?
The end of next month, the end of March, there'll be an M&A mastermind down in San Diego. I think that's the March 26th, 27th. I'm looking forward to that. We're going to talk about some of the things that we talked about today. And there seems like there's more and more activity going on the M&A side. So looking forward to that event. If anybody's interested in getting tickets, I've got some passes. Just message me at james@kernanconsulting.com. And would love to see you there. So it should be a lot of fun. And Carl's going to be there speaking as well.
Oh.
So it's going to be fun.
Sorry.
Fun seeing him. All right. Awesome. Well, I think that's going to be a wrap. Amy, thanks for sharing today. Good to see you. And until next time, take care.
All right. We'll see you.
Thank you for listening and or watching. Remember, Dave breaks down the IT news of the day on his show, The Business of Tech, which drops at 5 p.m. Eastern, Mondays through Fridays, with bonus content on the weekends.
Watching this on YouTube? Be sure to like and subscribe so you always know you've got our latest episode. We'd love to hear from you, so feel free to use the contact form on the SMB Community Podcast webpage. That's smbcommunitypodcast.com. Or leave your comments on our YouTube episode page. Produced by Picture This Video. Part of the MSP Radio Network.